Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Secrets Revealed, Understand the Book of Revelation from Start to Finish. This is Nicole, your Book of Revelation research scientist, and this is PGN, Prophetic Grace Network. Today, we're discussing and analyzing from the Book of Revelation, the Marriage Supper Prophecy. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/liveprophetic to see the one-page basic study notes that accompany this talk. Let's get to it. Here is the Marriage Supper Prophecy. This is documentary number 9. John the Revelator was shown when he was called up supernaturally to heaven. He was shown 12 documentaries by my count. The ninth of those documentaries is a documentary about the Battle of Armageddon. It is the documentary that has the most detail of any prophecy in the Book of Revelation on the Battle of Armageddon. Let's hear it, John the Revelator speaking to you and me about what he saw as he stood in heaven watching a documentary about the Battle of the Armageddon shown to him by an angel of the Lord. Here's what he says. Then I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice, and let us give honor to him, for the time has come for the wedding feast of the Lamb, and his bride has prepared herself. She has been given the finest of pure white linen to wear. For the fine linen represents the good deeds of God's holy people. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding feast of the Lamb. And he added, these are true words that come from God. Then I fell down at his feet to worship him. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God, just like you and your brothers and sisters who testify about their faith in Jesus. Worship only God, for the essence of prophecy is to give a clear witness for Jesus. Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe, at his thigh, was written this title, King of all kings and Lord of all lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, shouting to the vultures flying high in the sky, come, gather together for the great banquet God has prepared. Come and eat the flesh of kings, generals and strong warriors, of horses and their riders, and of all humanity, both free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the world and their armies gathered together to fight against the one sitting on the horse and his army. And the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who did mighty miracles on behalf of the beast, miracles that deceived all who had accepted the mark of the beast and who worshipped his statue. both the beast and his false prophet were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. Their entire army was killed by the sharp sword that came from the mouth of the one riding the white horse. And the vultures all gorged themselves on the dead bodies. That is the marriage supper prophecy in its entirety. John the Revelator watched this documentary as he stood in heaven, moving pictures with sound, a vision external to himself, created by an omniscient and omnipotent God, shown to John the Revelator because Jesus Christ tasked an angel to show John the Revelator the things to come. That's documented in Revelation chapter 1. The angel began to do that, and John gives his report of exactly what the angel showed him about the things to come, beginning with verse 1 of Revelation chapter 5 and ending with verse 5 of Revelation chapter 22. The angel showed him 12 documentaries in total. This is the ninth documentary. So what did we just hear? We heard at the beginning of this documentary, John says he heard a vast crowd. He said, it sounds like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves. And what are they saying? Quote, praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. We're going to pause there. So this takes us from immediately prior to the Battle of Armageddon to the Battle of Armageddon itself, and then the cleanup committee engaging in the actual cleanup of the carnage that remains after the Battle of Armageddon. So a very detailed account of the Battle of Armageddon, the most detailed account. But I want to focus on today the beginning of this prophecy so we understand where it is in the timeline of chronological events. Specifically, I want to talk about the fire that consumes the Antichrist, that's the beast, and the false prophet at the end, and before they're destroyed with the second death at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, we have the fire that destroys the body of the beast. Now, at the beginning of this documentary, again, Revelation chapter 19, verse 6, it says, I heard again what sounded like the shout of a vast crowd or the roar of mighty ocean waves or the crash of loud thunder. Praise the Lord, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. So I want to take us to Daniel chapter 7, because in Daniel chapter 7, there's a description of the beast. That's the 10-nation alliance described in the 666 Antichrist prophecy. So in the book of Revelation, here in this documentary, the marriage supper documentary, the beast at the end of Revelation chapter 19 is talking about the Antichrist. However, in the book of Revelation, the beast sometimes refers to Satan, for example, in Revelation chapter 20, Satan is referred to as the beast and that dragon, the old serpent. In Revelation chapter 13 and the second half, there's the language another beast, which is referring to the false prophet. And we also have the beast described as the 10-nation alliance, which is the one world government that will dominate economic and political affairs during the Great Tribulation. Hold on for 1 second. So in Daniel chapter 7, there's a description of a beast Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 says, "Then in my vision that night I saw a fourth beast, terrifying, dreadful, and very strong. It devoured and crushed its victims with huge iron teeth and trampled their remains beneath its feet. It was different from any of the other beasts, and it had 10 horns. As I was looking at the horns, suddenly another small horn appeared among them. 3 of the first horns were torn out by the roots to make room for it. This little horn had eyes like human eyes and a mouth that was boasting arrogantly." So these verses, Daniel chapter 7, verses 7 and 8, are talking about the 10-nation alliance. That's why it has 10 horns, with each of those horns representing one of the kings in these 10 nations that will form an alliance that will dominate political and economic affairs during the Great Tribulation. And then we're told that the Antichrist will actually take down 3 of these leaders. So they may have the title president or prime minister or some other title, but the leader of 3 of the nations will be taken down by the Antichrist, and he will emerge as an eighth king. He will emerge as an eighth king. So keep going with Daniel chapter 7. In verse 11 it says, "I continued to watch because I could hear the little horn's boastful speech." So Daniel's being shown a vision, and he hears the Antichrist boasting. And Daniel then says, "I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed and its body was destroyed by fire." So this is where I wanted us to get to begin today. So Daniel says, "I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed and its body was destroyed by fire." So this is talking about not the Antichrist, not the false prophet, and not Satan, but the 10-nation alliance. So there are, according to the God dream Nebuchadnezzar was given, in beginning with Nebuchadnezzar, there are 5 one-world kingdoms, if you will. In other words, there are 5 nations where these nations actually control much of the world in a way that we don't typically see. Now, we've never seen it in our lifetime. In our lifetime, we have many nations, and we have several very powerful nations. For example, the United States of America is a leading nation. China is a leading nation. Russia is a leading nation. We could go on like this. So we've never seen in our lifetime where there's one nation that truly dominates to a great extent most or if not all of the world. So we learn from Nebuchadnezzar's dream earlier in Daniel that he had the greatest nation that would ever exist on the planet in terms of power and dominion and strength. And then after him came a second nation, and then a third, and then a fourth. And then coming up at the end of the age, so many of us who are living today, we will live to see it. It's never, ever happened in our lifetime. But coming up in our time, there will be 10 nations. Now, in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, we learn that this fourth beast, it's not going to be as powerful as Nebuchadnezzar's nation, or the nation that came after that. In other words, these governments that dominated the globe with respect to their power, their strength, their finances, we've never seen it in our lifetime, but we're going to see 10 nations come together. They'll be like iron mingled with clay, it says in earlier in Daniel. So they're coming together in an attempt to make them stronger than they could be singularly, right? But they don't all mix well together, just like iron doesn't mingle with clay, we're told earlier in Daniel. And this is the fourth beast. Now, why are we talking about this? We're getting to the timing of the Battle of Armageddon and the destruction of the Antichrist. So Daniel sees the Antichrist boasting. When does the Antichrist boast? Well, that's during the 1,260 days of his rule. What does he rule? He grows in dominion, we're told, in power across 1,260 days. That's 42 months. That's 3.5 years. And Daniel says, I continued to watch because I could hear the little horn's boastful speech. I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed and its body was destroyed by fire. What is the body? What is the body of the Ten Nation Alliance? Its body is its headquarters. So the headquarters for the Ten Nation Alliance is going to be destroyed. Let's go to Revelation 17, and it says, the scarlet beast and his ten horns all hate the prostitute. They will strip her naked and eat her flesh and burn her remains with fire. For God has put a plan into their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. They will agree to give their authority to the scarlet beast, that's the Antichrist, and so the words of God will be fulfilled. Then we go to Revelation chapter 18, talking about the fire and the destruction of the beast. It says, Revelation 18, talking about the headquarters for the harlot church. Remember, the Antichrist and the false prophet are working together in tandem. Revelation 18:2 says, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. So this is the headquarters for the one world religion. And this city, Babylon, this city is Rome. It's the city of seven hills. It's the city where the false prophet, the final pope, he will have significant power there as the leader of the one world religion. That's the final pope and the false prophet, the same person. And what's going to happen to Babylon? Revelation 18:2 says, Babylon is fallen. That great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. And then in Revelation 18:8, it says, these plagues will overtake her in a single day, talking about the body of the beast, death and mourning and famine. She will be completely consumed by fire, completely consumed by fire, for the Lord God who judges her is mighty. So what are we doing? We're looking at Revelation 17 and Daniel chapter 7, verse 11, it says, I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed and its body was destroyed by fire. So Rome is going to become the most powerful city in the entire world during the Great Tribulation. It's going to have economic power that surpasses the wealth, the gross domestic product, I suspect, certainly the influence of New York City, Zurich, Geneva, Tokyo, Beijing, all the cities that you would list and think of as wealthy, as prosperous, as contributing to the financial affairs in a significant way on the globe, it's going to rise to the top of that list. Whatever list exists, it's going to be at the very top of it. It is the body of the beast. What does that mean? It's the body of the Ten Nation Alliance. And in Revelation chapter 17 and 18, and in Daniel chapter 7, we're told what's going to happen to the body of the beast. okay, now why is the word beast used with three different entities, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan, as well as with this 10-nation alliance? Because they all connect to the same father, which is Satan. So the Antichrist is an extension of Satan. In other words, the Antichrist will get his power from Satan, and he will carry out the plans and purposes of Satan. The false prophet is an extension of Satan. He will carry out the plans and purposes of Satan, and he will be empowered to perform supernatural miracles through Satan. Satan himself is a beast, and so those who follow him will bear his mark, right? So the mark of the beast, that's the Antichrist mark, and the Antichrist is submitted to Satan. So really, anyone who takes the mark of the beast is taking the mark of Satan, and they forfeit the opportunity to take the mark of God, which is going to happen to every person who participates in the first resurrection will ultimately receive the mark of God on his or her forehead. Now, the 10-nation alliance is referred to the beginning of Revelation chapter 13 as a beast, and it's referred to here in Daniel 7 as the fourth beast. Okay, so we're clear that whenever we're talking about beast, we're talking about either Satan himself or the Antichrist, an extension of Satan, or the false prophet, another extension of Satan, or the 10-nation alliance, which will be an attempt to bring about Satan's rule and reign over the entire earth. It will last for a very short period of time, only 3.5 years. That's 1,260 days. It's the wrath of Satan. It's a time of great crisis. It's referred to as the wrath of Satan because it's a time of great crisis for who? Those who are team Jesus. Those who are team Jesus. So when I hear people say, oh, we're not going to be here for the great tribulation, why on earth would Satan bring tribulation to his children? So the Great Tribulation is a time of great distress, but it's not a time of great distress for those who are team Satan. It's a time of great distress for those of us who are team Jesus. Now, the Bible does say we are not appointed to wrath. What does that mean? We're not appointed to God's wrath. We're not appointed to God's wrath. God's wrath is Revelation chapters 15 and 16. And indeed, I believe that the Bible reveals that the first resurrection happens before the seven final plagues are poured out. So the seven plagues are the wrath of God. And indeed, who is the wrath of God a time of great distress for? Those who are team Satan. Now, again, the Great Tribulation is a time of great distress for those who are team Jesus. You can't be distressed by the Great Tribulation if you're not here. If you're not here. Now let's talk about the fire. Let's talk about this fire. It says in Daniel chapter 7, I kept watching until the fourth beast was killed and its body was destroyed by fire. And then verse 12 says, the other three beasts had their authority taken from them, but they were allowed to live a while longer. So let's continue. Revelation 18 verse 8 says again, she will be completely consumed by fire, for the Lord God who judges her is mighty. And earlier it said, Babylon is fallen, that great city is fallen. She has become a home for demons. And verse 4 says, come away from her, my people. Do not take part in her sins, or you will be punished with her. So let's get to the part where this connects to the marriage supper prophecy. Because in Daniel chapter 7, as it continues, the angel explains Daniel's vision, and it says, the angel is explaining Daniel's vision to him. First, Daniel tells us his vision, then the angel explains it to Daniel, and we get to hear what the angel's explanation is. And part of this explanation is here, Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, it says, then he said to me, the fourth beast is the fourth world power that will rule the earth. So this is the 10-nation alliance described in Revelation chapter 13. So the angel says, this fourth beast is the fourth world power that will rule the earth. It will be different from all the others. It will devour the whole world, trampling and crushing everything in its path. Its 10 horns are 10 kings who will rule that empire. Then another king will arise, different from the other 10, who will subdue 3 of them. So this is talking about the Antichrist. He will arise. He'll subdue 3 of these kings. Then it says, talking about the Antichrist, continuing in verse 25, he will defy the Most High and oppress the holy people of the Most High. So the Antichrist is going to oppress the holy people of the Most High. Now, the Antichrist cannot oppress those of us who are in Christ. He cannot oppress us if we're not here. Now, do you believe the Bible, or do you believe what you already have heard? And you say, therefore, I know what I've heard is true. Let me find where the Bible reveals what I already know. No, but don't do that. We go to the Bible, see what it says, and then we revise our thinking so that it lines up with the Word of God. The Word of God says right here, talking about the Antichrist, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, he will defy the Most High and oppress the holy people of the Most High. He will try to change their sacred festivals and laws, and they will be placed under his control for a time, times, and half a time. So this means a time is 1 year, times is 2 years, and half a time is 1/2 year. So that's 1 plus 2, that's 3 plus half, 3.5. And this is confirmed. The Bible confirms itself. Revelation chapter 12 says 1,260 days is how long the Antichrist will place Christians and Jews under control. And Revelation 13 says he's in control for 3.5 years, 42 months. So it's the exact same period of time, whether you want to think of it in years, months, or days. Then it says, but then the court will pass judgment, and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. So when does all this happen? So after the 3.5 years, it says, the court will pass judgment. What court? God's court, a court in heaven. It says, but then the court will pass judgment, and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. Now, what does destruction mean? In the book of Revelation, there's one strategy only that is used to destroy all 5 of God's enemies. It is the second death. It says, and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. So the Antichrist is going to the second death. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. So it's after the Battle of Armageddon is fought and won. At the end of the Battle of Armageddon, we heard that the beast was captured, that's the Antichrist, and his false prophet, and they're thrown into the lake of fire. That's how they are destroyed. They're completely destroyed. Once an entity goes into the lake of fire, that entity never, ever comes out. It's forever and ever. You might say, well, I think that's talking about Satan. No, because Revelation 19 reveals that it's at the end of the Battle of Armageddon, the Antichrist and false prophet go into the lake of fire. And then Revelation 20, verses 9 and 10 reveal 1,000 years later, Satan joins them. Satan joins them. They've been there 1,000 years. He joins them, and it says they will be tormented forever and ever. Let's go there for a second so you can hear that. Revelation 20, verses 9 and 10. It says, and I saw them as they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded God's people and the beloved city. But fire from heaven came down on the attacking armies and consumed them. So this is at the end of the first 1,000 years of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning on this present earth. And verse 10 says, then the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, joining the beast and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So it says, then the devil joins the beast. So that confirms that this is not saying Satan joined himself. No, the devil joins the Antichrist and the false prophet. There they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. So what does it all mean? We're talking about the timing of the establishment of the government of Jesus Christ on this present earth. Daniel chapter 7 tells us, but then the court will pass judgment and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. So after the Antichrist rules and reigns for 1,260 days, he is captured. He is captured. Now think about this. Is God a just God? Absolutely. No just judge, and God the Father is the judge of all, no just judge will sentence someone without having a court proceeding. People have a right to defend themselves, to present their evidence. Now, in the dead judge prophecy, Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 to 15, we are told about the great white throne judgment where all human beings, with the exception of the Antichrist and false prophet, but all the other human beings who have been in prisons of darkness, all the other human beings who have died, they died in their sins. In other words, they didn't die in Christ. They died having rejected the opportunity to go to mediation. They've rejected the opportunity to allow their sin debt to be paid for by Jesus. In other words, God has a case against them, and instead of them saying, you know what, God, I know I've sinned. I know you have a case against me. I know I'm no great lawyer, and I'm not rich enough to pay for my sins, and the only payment that can pay for my sins is actually the blood of Jesus. That's what your word says. Let me follow your instructions, and I'm going to go to mediation. I'm going to repent of my sins. I'm going to make Jesus Christ Lord of my life, therefore allowing him to be my mediator, since the Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, and that mediator is Jesus Christ. I'm going to let Jesus be my mediator so that I can be adopted into your family, God, so that instead of me dying, I'll have eternal life. Instead of me never, ever being able to live on the new earth, instead of this body wearing out and I never, ever get another one, I do want to cooperate with you, God. I want to have eternal life. I want to be a part of your forever family. So people get to decide that, whether they want eternal life or whether they want eternal damnation. For those who say, I want nothing to do with Jesus, in the end, that's exactly what's going to happen to them. They're going to have nothing to do with Jesus, because this present earth is going to have everything to do with Jesus once he returns, and that's going to be forever and ever, this present earth and the new earth. So those who have rejected Jesus, they are rejecting the opportunity to be on this present earth. They're saying they don't want to participate in God's forever family. They don't want to be adopted into God's forever family. They want to be a child of Satan instead of being a child of God. Is Satan your God? Is Satan your father? If you haven't been to mediation, Satan is your father. Don't hang up. Don't turn off the internet when you hear that. The Bible says if you don't have the Son, you don't have the Father. Who's the Father? God is the Father, and he sits in heaven on a mighty throne. He's sending his Son, Jesus Christ, back to fight and win the Battle of Armageddon. It's going to be a war waged in righteousness. Now, we just heard the Marriage Supper documentary. The first thing that the angel of the Lord says after showing John the Revelator, the 12th documentary in heaven, is everything you've seen is true and sure to come to pass. 100% of the Marriage Supper documentary is true and sure to come to pass. Now, Daniel reveals that the Antichrist, and we already know from the Marriage Supper documentary, the Marriage Supper prophecy, that the Antichrist is going to be destroyed. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire, him and, it says, his false prophet. Satan's two flunkies, they're going into the lake of fire before him, but he's coming 1,000 years later. But here's something we didn't hear in the book of Revelation, but which is revealed in Daniel chapter 7. The Antichrist has his day in court. He has his day in court. Now, you might say, well, why wasn't that included in Revelation 2? I don't know. Another thing about the Battle of Armageddon that's interesting, that's not included in the Marriage Supper documentary, in the Earth Reap documentary, Revelation chapter 14, at the end, it's revealed that when the Battle of Armageddon ends, the blood is going to flow for 180 miles, and it's going to be 5 feet high. So there are different things about the Battle of Armageddon mentioned in many different places in the Bible. We're going here to find out about some interesting pieces to this this series of events will help us to understand what all has happened. So it says, but the court will pass judgment, and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. So when do those who are Jews who have accepted Jesus Christ, the 144,000, and those Jews who received Jesus Christ when he descended when he descended for 3 days and three nights, and he preached, in other words, all who are in Christ, all whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And listen, I appreciate that there's some debate about who all has his or her name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Let's be clear that certainly those who have found and follow God's plan for salvation are in Christ. So let's stay where we are. When are those who participate in the first resurrection, when do we rule and reign? When do we rule and reign? It happens immediately after the Battle of Armageddon. So once the Antichrist and the false prophet are captured, we're told here that the court will pass judgment and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed. Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will last forever, and all rulers will serve and obey him. So here's, friend and truth seeker, let me say what I believe it all means. I believe that Daniel chapter 7 reveals that the Antichrist has his day in court, and the court passes judgment. When he's found guilty, then he's thrown into the lake of fire. So we're told simply, because the point of the marriage supper prophecy is to document the Battle of Armageddon and the cleanup plan, not to focus on the Antichrist and what all is happening with him, right? It's to document the Jesus fighting and winning the Battle of Armageddon and Jesus' cleanup plan for the Battle of Armageddon. But Daniel chapter 7 focuses more on the Antichrist and his actions and what is happening with him. So we get this secret revealed in Daniel chapter 7 that the Antichrist actually has his day in court before he is destroyed. Now, you have to know what destroyed means in order to get this. So when you read the book of Revelation from start to finish, you see that destroyed has a very specific meaning. And what that means, whenever it says destroyed, is some entity, some person, some angel is going into, so I'm saying angel, fallen angel, right? Satan's a fallen angel, is going into the lake of fire, the second death. So when it says here in Daniel chapter 7, verse 26, and all his power will be taken away and completely destroyed, this is talking about the Antichrist is going into the lake of fire. And what happens after his destruction? Then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. So when the Antichrist is ruling and reigning, he's dominating the 10-nation alliance, and the 10-nation alliance is dominating political and economic affairs. Affairs where? In everywhere. Every continent is going to be reached. It says every people in every language in Revelation chapter 13, but it's only for a finite period of time. That finite period of time is known. It's exactly 1,260 days. At the end of it, who's going to rule? It's not going to be those 10 kings. It's not going to be those presidents and those prime ministers who were working in tandem and under the authority and leadership of the Antichrist. Who's going to rule? It says, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. That's you and me, friend and truth seeker. It's everyone whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're going to rule and reign with Jesus Christ on this present earth immediately following the Battle of Armageddon. Now, I can't tell you what your assignment is going to be. Right? So I don't know if you're going to be a mayor, a governor, a president. I don't know exactly what your assignment is going to be. But the Bible says repeatedly that all who are the sons and daughters of God, once Jesus Christ establishes his government on this present earth, we're going to rule and reign. Rule and reign over what? Nations. Nations. Countries. So the vast majority of countries after the Battle of Armageddon And upon the second coming of Jesus Christ and after the Battle of Armageddon, the vast majority of nations will continue to exist. There will be some, as noted in several books in the Bible, who will be destroyed. There will be some, but very few, of a small percentage of nations. Those nations that have extreme sin debt owed to God, he hasn't forgotten, and he's documented in different places in the Bible. Perhaps one day we can talk about that. We can have a talk that focuses on that. But he's indicated some specific nations that when Jesus Christ comes back, those nations are going to be destroyed. He hasn't forgotten. He's still keeping track. However, the vast majority of nations are going to continue, and those nations need leaders, government. Now, Isaiah chapter 9 says, talking about Jesus Christ, and of the increase of his government and his peace, there shall be no end. So what are we saying? We have a government that's constantly changing right now, right? So most nations, I live here in the United States of America. Perhaps you live in Canada or Australia or Nigeria or China, wherever you are, there was some other government before the government that you know. Same for me, right? There was some government that existed prior to the government of the United States of America, where I live here, right outside of the District of Columbia. However, the government that we get after the Battle of Armageddon, it's the final government. It's the final government. It's the final government. What does it say? Daniel chapter 7. It says, then the sovereignty, power, and greatness of all the kingdoms under heaven will be given to the holy people of the Most High. His kingdom will last forever. So it's going to last forever. It will start on this present earth, and then it's going to continue when we transition to the new earth, and that happens a little bit after the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ on this earth. I want to take us a few other places to talk about this timing. Talk about this timing. So Daniel chapter 2, talking about the 10-nation alliance. So Nebuchadnezzar has a dream, and Daniel is interpreting the dream, and Daniel says, Daniel chapter 2, verse 29, while your majesty was sleeping, you dreamed about coming events. So he's talking to Nebuchadnezzar. He says to Nebuchadnezzar, Daniel says, he who reveals secrets has shown you what is going to happen. So we're looking at this because this is relevant for our time. Then it says, and it's not because I am wiser than anyone else that I know the secret of your dream, but because God wants you to understand what was in your heart. In your vision, your majesty, you saw before you a huge, shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. Its chest and arms were silver. Its belly and thighs were bronze. Its legs were iron, and its feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. As you watched, a rock was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. The whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. Then the wind blew them away without a trace, like chaff on a threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a great mountain, covered the whole earth. That was the dream. Now we will tell the king what it means. Your majesty, you are the greatest of kings. The God of heaven has given you sovereignty, power, strength, and honor. He has made you the ruler over all the inhabited world and has put even the wild animals and birds under your control. You are the head of gold. So Nebuchadnezzar ruled over this entire earth, a one-world government. So we've never seen that in our lifetime. Then Daniel says, but after your kingdom comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise to take your place. So since Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom, all the one-world governments have decreased in power, sovereignty, and dominion. Then Daniel says, after that kingdom, so this is the third one, has fallen, yet a third kingdom represented by bronze will rise to rule the world. Following that kingdom, there will be a fourth one as strong as iron. That kingdom will smash and crush all previous empires just as iron smashes and crushes everything it strikes. The feet and toes you saw were a combination of iron and baked clay, showing that this kingdom will be divided like iron mixed with clay. It will have some of the strength of iron, but while some parts of it will be as strong as iron, other parts will be as weak as clay. This mixture of iron and clay also shows that these kingdoms will try to strengthen themselves by forming alliances with each other through intermarriage, but they will not hold together just as iron and clay do not mix. Okay, so now we're at the part where in our lifetime we are going to see this final kingdom, the iron mingled with clay. Then it says, during the reigns of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. So it's the nations that exist during the Great Tribulation, those are the nations that are going to, those nations in that 10-nation alliance, they are the iron mingled with clay. That's the fourth world government. So it's inferior, right? So it has less power than Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom and the second and the third. This last one, we're going to see it in our lifetime. It's going to be more powerful than any single nation, right? So the United States, for example, is very powerful. China, for example, is very powerful. Russia is very powerful. But it'll be 10 nations together, and they're allied because they want to be very, very, very powerful, more powerful than the superpowers, the nations that are superpowers that we have today, and they will be. It will be. It will be. This beast, the 10-nation alliance, the fourth beast, it will be that powerful. It says, during the reigns of those kings, so these 10 presidents and prime ministers in the 10-nation alliance, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed or conquered. So when is God, the God of heaven, going to set up a kingdom on this present earth, so where you and I live? When is God going to set up a kingdom, a government, that will never be destroyed or conquered? Now, sometimes I think when we hear the word kingdom, people tend to think of heaven. Do you know that there's a nation on the earth that refers to itself as a kingdom? Saudi Arabia refers to itself as a kingdom. They talk about the kingdom of Saudi Arabia, and it's nothing supernatural, right? That is a country that exists on this present earth. It's tangible. You can fly there. I remember in high school I had a friend who had lived there. I had another student who was from Saudi Arabia. You can go there. Maybe you're there right now. So kingdom, when you hear the word kingdom, it's not limited to talking about what exists in heaven. So this is talking about, in Daniel, the establishment of a government on this present earth. So God is going to set up a worldwide government, and it's called a kingdom because the leader of this government will be Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is a king. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. So we can talk about the kingdom of God on this present earth. If that feels unusual or that language is a little bit hard to wrap your brain around or my brain around, we can simply talk about the government of Jesus Christ. That sounds perhaps more familiar. We're talking about the government of Jesus Christ. It is coming. It is coming. It's coming when? After Jesus Christ fights and wins the Battle of Armageddon, The Antichrist is going to have his day in court. We hear that in Daniel chapter 7. He is going to lose. He's going to be thrown into the lake of fire. That's revealed in Revelation chapter 19. And the kingdom is going to be given to Jesus Christ, who will rule and reign with all his holy ones. Now, when Joe Biden got into office in 2020, he made some appointments. Now, I understand there are a lot of seats that are still vacant. Same thing with the previous administration, but he made some appointments, right? He decided who, for example, even before he was in office, he knew who he wanted his vice president to be. And then he had to make decisions who was going to be Secretary of State and who's going to be this and who's going to be that. Folks, when Jesus Christ establishes his government on this present earth, he's going to decide who's going to be the prime minister, who's going to be the president, who's going to be the vice president. Now, perhaps some of these tasks he will do some of those that he puts in charge, but many of these decisions, I believe he's going to make them for himself. Why? Because he's the king. He is the king. So Joe Biden, as president of the United States, he's making decisions because he is the king, if you will, of the United States. Now, we don't use that language. We use the language president. But he is the greatest authority figure in terms of legitimate power that exists for the United States of America. We look at Macron. He's the president of France. We look at Trudeau. He's the leader of Canada. I think they use the language prime minister. So when Jesus Christ comes, he's establishing a literal government. And those who participate in the first resurrection will have appointments, roles that are given by Jesus Christ. Now, you might say, well, I want to this or that. Don't you know that Jesus knows everything that's in you, all your talents, your strengths, your gifts? Everything that you have ever been and ever will be, God knows. Most people look at you and they fail to perceive your genius. They only see your genius emerge when you're in an environment where there's an opportunity for your genius to emerge, right? You put Carrie Underwood in a church, and the music's playing, and she's asked to sing. Her genius emerges when you hear the notes come out of her mouth. You put Billy Graham in front of a pulpit and ask him to talk, and he begins to preach the word of God. His genius emerged. You're no different than a Carrie Underwood or a Billy Graham or a Martin Luther King. Right, we keep going on and on like this, but the difference is most people never have a chance for their genius to emerge due to the fact that there's so many things there's so many things fighting against the will of God. And so people fail to perceive your genius, and then circumstances don't always align that would allow your genius to emerge. Now, what's the point that I'm getting to? I'm getting to a happy end, which is this. You will continue to have your same soul, your same mind, will, and emotions, your same spirit forever and ever. And if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will participate in the government of Jesus Christ on this present earth, and you're going to have the perfect job. You're going to have the perfect job because Jesus knows everything that God put in you. He knows if you can sing. He knows if you can run, if you can jump, if you can write poetry. He knows if you have leadership qualities. He knows if you're the best chef, you're the best mother. He knows everything about you. sometimes people get to the end of life or the middle of the life, and they think, oh, I never did this, I never did that. What have I accomplished? Or I'll never live up to my potential. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will live up to your potential. If your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you will live up to your potential because you have an assignment. You have a job. You have a role. You have a purpose. You have a destiny, and it's not for a 20-year career or a 30-year career, or let's just be generous and say a 70-year career, it's for eternity. How about that? You know, I've been praying about getting a 3-year contract, which I'm excited, praise God, about that. But how about an assignment for eternity? An assignment that you can never get fired from, where your genius can emerge because you're exactly where God's called you to be, and you're prepared because everything that you need to do that is what God has put in you. And you're cooperating with God because there's no Satan to distract you, and none of his agents are there to attack you. Hallelujah. That's coming up. When's it coming up? It's coming up immediately after the marriage supper. So once those vultures are engaged in the cleanup plan, the government of Jesus Christ begins. So the Battle of Armageddon is fought and won, and at its conclusion, the government of Jesus Christ is established. Now, I wanted to mention one other thing about the fire. So we talked about the fire, the lake of fire, the second death that will destroy the Antichrist as well as the false prophet, but we mostly focused on the Antichrist. Let's talk about the fire that destroys the beast. And not talking about the Antichrist, but one of the other three beasts, specifically the 10-Nation Alliance. We talked a little bit about it. I want to circle back to that just to confirm. The 10-Nation Alliance, it is going to be, its body is going to be destroyed. In other words, its headquarters is going to be destroyed. So it has a physical body, which is a city. That city is Babylon. Babylon is the city of seven hills where people are clothed in purple and scarlet, and where there are, let me pause for a second. That city is going to be consumed by fire, and the consumption, when that city is destroyed by fire, that is an event that happens prior to the Battle of Armageddon. It happens prior to the Battle of Armageddon. So before God takes out the Antichrist through Jesus Christ, before the Antichrist is destroyed, God uses the Antichrist to take out the headquarters for the one world religion. Now, you might say, it's not making sense to me. Why would the Antichrist destroy the headquarters for the one world religion? Have you noticed that people, and this is my answer, my response to that comment, have you noticed that people who are obsessed with power can never have enough? So in other words, the Antichrist and the false prophet, they are working in tandem. They are working in tandem as flunkies of Satan to accomplish his plans and purposes. But for some reason, the Antichrist grows a hatred for the headquarters, where the false prophet is, the city that has the most wealth, the most money, the most power, the greatest city on this earth during the Great Tribulation. It will be Rome. For some reason, The Bible doesn't tell us what it is, but the Antichrist develops a great hatred for it. I'm going to guess that he feels jealous. I'm going to guess that he feels jealous and he wants that power that the false prophet has for himself. Even though he'll be the greatest political leader that any of us have ever seen in our lifetime, when I say greatest, talking about in terms of power, not intelligence or anything that we should look up to or admire, talking about power endowed to him by Satan, the prince of this world at this time, I'm going to guess that he is jealous. He wants for himself that he hates, that in some sense he's sharing power with the false prophet, even though they're both working in tandem. Kind of like two people all report to the head mobster, the head godfather, and then at a certain point they get mad and one wants to take out the other maybe. Or but they can't take him out, but they say, how can I disempower? How can I make him a little bit lower than me so I'm the greatest? I'm going to guess it's something like that. But let's see what the Bible reveals about that. Revelation chapter 17 says, talking about the Antichrist, scarlet beast and his ten horns all hate the prostitute. So the scarlet beast is the Antichrist. They will strip her naked. This is talking about the city. So there are ten kings. These ten kings are the prime ministers, presidents, the supreme leaders of these ten nations in the Ten Nation Alliance. The iron mingled with clay in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, the nations that exist when Jesus Christ comes as the big rock, he's going to smash these ten nations to pieces, and then his government is going to grow forever and ever. It says the scarlet beast and his ten horns all hate the prostitute. They will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire. So the Antichrist is going to take out, he's going to take out the headquarters for the one world religion, the harlot church. It says, for God has put a plan into their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. So God actually puts the plan to take out his enemy into the mind of the Antichrist. So Satan's using the Antichrist, but God is greater than Satan, and certainly he can use him if he wants to as well. He can use him if he wants to as well, and he's going to do that. So we see fire being used in some interesting ways. We have the fire, literal fire, used by the Antichrist and the ten kings to take out the greatest city that exists. And maybe these kings feel jealous too. Maybe they wish their nations were more powerful and they want some of the wealth of that nation to come to their nation. Who knows what all it is. I'm going to guess it's jealousy that's eating them. And they decide to take out this nation because they think its wealth is going to come to them. In any case, it happens for whatever reasons. So fire is used by the Antichrist and the Ten Kings to take out Babylon, which is the city, the headquarters for the One World Religion. And then we see shortly thereafter, the Antichrist is still ruling and reigning. He arrives with the armies of the world and with the false prophet. He arrives in Jerusalem. It's time to fight the Battle of Armageddon. He thinks it's going to be easy pickings, but it's not. And in fact, in the same way that he destroyed Babylon, Rome, with fire, he is going to be destroyed, but with a greater fire, with a holy fire. He's going to be tossed right into that lake of fire, and there he will be tormented along with the false prophet forever and ever. Friend and truth seeker, I hope that this has been an interesting talk for you. I want to end with reading from Revelation chapter 20, We're talking about when are you going to get your assignment in the government of Jesus Christ, and when is the Battle of Armageddon going to be fought and won, and immediately after the vultures gorge themselves, there as the cleanup plan for the Battle of Armageddon, as immediately after they gorge themselves on the dead bodies, the next documentary that is shown, the next documentary is shown is the Millennial Reign documentary, and it talks about in this documentary, it talks about in this documentary the first 1,000 years of the government of Jesus Christ. So I want you to be encouraged to know that you have plans and purposes that are plans and purposes for what God wants you to do today, and you have plans and purposes for what God wants you to do in the future. You want to continue to seek the Lord with all your soul, with all your might, with all your strength, because he has plans and purposes for you, wonderful plans and purposes for your life today and for your life to come. What do I mean by your life to come? Your life at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Now, there's a generation. I believe that many of us are in it. There's a generation where you'll never, ever experience death, because when Jesus Christ comes, you're going to transition from mortality to immortality in the blink of an eye. But for those who go on ahead, so you're promoted to heaven when this earth suit gives out, when your earth suit gives out and you're promoted to heaven, you're coming back with Jesus Christ to participate in the first resurrection. And then ultimately, at the Battle of Armageddon, when it's fought and won, as witnesses, we'll see Jesus Christ take out the Antichrist. And then we will be with him as he establishes his government on this present earth. You want to be ready for your assignment. You want to be ready for your assignment. How do you get ready for your assignment? Get in the Word of God. Hear it. Listen as often as you can to programs that are talking about the Word of God so that you can hear it. Get teaching on the Word of God. Pray so that you can hear from God directly. So you pray is talking to God, and then listen. Then listen so you can hear what God is saying back to you, what he is saying back to you. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God has plans and purposes for your life in this stage of life, and plans and purposes for you to have a role in his government. You will have a role in Jesus Christ. Revelation 20, we're going to end here. Verse 6 says, blessed are and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. That's you, friend and truth seeker. That's every person whose name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It says, blessed and holy are those who share in the first resurrection. For them, the second death holds no power, but they will be priests of God and of Christ and will reign with him 1,000 years. So this is the 1,000 years that begins after the marriage supper, when the government of Jesus Christ is established. So what are you going to be doing? It says, and they reigned with Christ. So this is in our future, but it's in God's past. See, all time is within God. So this has already happened from God's perspective. He's already experienced you ruling and reigning with Jesus Christ. This is sure to come to pass. Are you ready? Have you made sure that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you cooperating with God? Are you cooperating with God, or are you cooperating with Satan? Those are the only two agendas. God has an agenda, and Satan has an agenda. So either your agenda, my agenda, it's either lining up with the agenda of God or the agenda of Satan. You might say, no, option C. There's no option C. So there's option A and option F. Either you're passing with flying colors because you are cooperating with God to the best of your ability, or you're cooperating with Satan, and that's an F. That's an F. if you're cooperating with Satan, you don't want to be under condemnation. But if you are not cooperating with God, in other words, if Jesus Christ is not Lord of your life and you aren't seeking Jesus and following him, so once you find him, you have to follow him. Some people say, oh, I found Jesus. Are you following him? Are you following his plans and purposes for your life? You know, when you go to a job, you don't only find a job and you go and sit down in your assigned seat. You have to follow the instructions of your boss, your leader, your team lead, right? So if Jesus is Lord of my life, that means he has instructions that I'm following, right? Okay, so friend, you are blessed because you have heard the prophecies in the book of Revelation today. I believe that you're cooperating with God. You're going to hear from God this year, I believe, like never before. So many people are really getting closer to God. I believe that every person who truly wants to know the truth will ultimately arrive at this. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father except by him. So I encourage you to stay with the Lord. Find Jesus and hold on to him. Find him and follow him with all your heart, your soul, and your strength. I want to thank you for being with me and with us today. I want to invite you to send in your questions and comments about the book of Revelation. Our text number is 1-214-505-8719. Please send in your questions or comments about the book of Revelation to 1-214-505-8719. We're going to continue our discussion and analysis of the Marriage Supper prophecy on Thursday at 7 p.m. Texas time. That's 8 p.m. Eastern time. And again, every Sunday at 12 noon Texas time, 1 p.m. Eastern time, we are here talking about secrets in the book of Revelation. God bless you, friend and truth seeker. Until next time.